Glory to God. Good evening. Thank you so very much for joining us tonight for our time of ministry in the Word of God and our Bible study. Hallelujah. Our God is mighty, awesome. He's faithful. He's worthy. He deserves all of our glory and all of our praise. I trust that you and your loved ones, you and your family are doing well, and you are enjoying the goodness of the Lord in this season. It is such a privilege for us as God's children that on an ongoing, regular basis, we can come together as saints around the Word of God. The Word of God is so rich, is so enriching, is so fulfilling, it's so empowering. What a blessing. And when we come together like this and our great teacher, the Holy Spirit, is here with us. Oh my goodness, what an awesome privilege that we have in the Lord to receive, to be able to receive from Him. So thank you, wherever you are joining us from tonight, around the United States or around the world. Thank you. Thank you for being a part of our study tonight. Glory to God. Let's share a word of prayer. Let's dive right into the Word of God. I'm really excited about where we're picking up from tonight and where the Lord is taking us. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you tonight. We bless your name. We give you the glory and we give you the praise. Thank you, Lord, for your mighty hands upon our lives. What a privilege. What a blessing to know you, to know you, to be able to walk in the center of your will, to be able to walk with your covenant. Hallelujah. To be under your covering. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you so much. Thank you for loving us the way you do. Thank you. Thank you for calling us as sons and daughters. Thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for your awesome presence. We feel that presence here again tonight. And I want to pray, Father, for every one of my brothers and sisters, everyone that's joining us tonight, wherever they are joining us from, everyone under the sound of my voice. I pray tonight, Father, that you cause the light of your countenance to shine upon each and every one of them. Lord, cause the glorious light of the gospel to invade our hearts. Lord, let blind eyes be opened. Let hearts that are seared be losing consciences. Lord God, be touched by your word tonight. Soften every part of us. And Lord, help us draw closer to you. Let our heart become more and more like your heart. Fill us, oh God, with substance from your presence. I give you praise for it. I thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. Welcome and thank you so much again for being with us tonight. God is good. Hallelujah. This is word. His word is so rich. His word is so rich. Wherever you are, wherever the word of God is the common denominator in our fellowship. It's not specifics. It's not the personalities of people. It's not our culture. It's not the way we talk. It's not who we are. It's not any other thing in the natural. It's really the Word of God and the Spirit of the Word of God. And I tell you, wherever you are and whatever your preferences are, if you would open your heart to the Word of God, right? Every time you come around that Word, regardless of who the Lord is using to minister it, if you would come around that Word and you would open your heart to it, the Lord will do something mighty in your life. God will do something powerful, something eternal, something life-changing. He will. He'll visit with you. I mean, this is what we experience on an ongoing basis. Personally, this is what I experience on an ongoing basis. The word of God is so powerful. It's so full of life. Amen. Can hardly wait to touch it, to read it, to hear it, to study, to meditate it. Hallelujah. And every time we do, great things happen. No wonder the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John chapter 1 from verse 1. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was light or life, and that life was the light of men. And that light shines in darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. Glory to God. When we come around the Word of God, things happen. Our lives are changed. Glory to God. And for a few weeks, the Lord's had us in this series of studies, which we call the Love Revolution. Love Revolution. How powerful. How powerful. A revolution is a shift. It's a shift in the way we think, in the way we act, in the way we walk, in the way we approach things that we're doing in life. The love of God is truly a revolution. Amen. The way God loves us, that's a revolution. I mean, for God to love you and to love me, that is unthinkable, unfathomable. Amen. For God to love us the way He does, He must think differently from the way we think. Because most of us don't even see ourselves as qualifying. And we know we don't qualify in the natural for the love of God. So why would He love us so much? Why would He give us His best? Let's dive into the Word of God. 1 John chapter 3 from verse 1. We're going to read from the Amplified. 1 John and chapter 3 and verse 1. The book of 1 John chapter 3 and from verse 1. Behold, it says in the King James, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it does not know Him, or it did not know Him. And then it says in verse 2, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him. We will see Him as He is. Now, I love it very much from the Amplified. It says in verse 1, see what an incredible quality of love the Father has shown, bestowed on us, that we should be permitted to be named and called and counted as the children of God. And so we are. Glory to God. The reason that the world does not know, recognize, acknowledge us is that it does not know, recognize, or acknowledge Him. Verse 2. I love it. Beloved, we are even here and now God's children. It is not yet disclosed or made clear what we shall be like hereafter, but we know that when He comes and when He's manifested, we shall be as God's children. We'll resemble and be like Him, for we will see Him just as He really is. Glory to God. What an incredible quality of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be named and should be called and should be adopted as His children. What an incredible quality of love. Hallelujah. What an incredible quality of love. And that love makes us just like Him. That love, because of His love, He made us just like Him. It doesn't matter where you are, who you are, what your roots are, or what kind of family you were raised in, what kind of background you had. Because of the love of God, God has made you and me just like Him. Hallelujah. You and I are just like God. We're just like God. Hallelujah. We're just like Him. It says it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we will see Him just as He is. That is in 1 John 3 verse 2. So when He appears in the future, that's at a later date, we will be like Him. How about now? Well, right now, we're like Him. Why? How come in the future, how come we will be like him? Because of his love. Because of his love. When he appears, the Bible says we will be like him. We will see him as he really is and we will be like him. How come? Because of his love. How about now? How are we now? Well, the word of God tells us in 1 John, I might come back to read this scripture later on. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17, it says, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, in the future, like what we read in 1 John 3:2, in the future, when he appears, we will be like him. Why? Because of his love. How about today? How about right now? We're just like him today. Also, because of his love. Look at that. Look at what it says in verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is right now, so are we in this world. Why? Because of his love. As he is right now, so are we in this world. When he appears, we will be like him. When he shows up, we will be like him. Glory to God. Why? Because of his love. We will see him as he really is. And the Bible says we would have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because of his love. Because our love is made perfect in him. And how are we right now? We are just as he is right now because of his love. So if God the Father, if he's a glorious God, we have the glorious nature of God the Father in us. We share in his divine nature and ability. Remember what that scripture, why? Because of his love. Remember that scripture in 2 Peter 1:3, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by this you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. How did that happen? How did we become partakers of the divine nature? Because of his love. It's not that we worked for it. It's not that we achieved it by ourselves. It's not like we did something to qualify for it. No, it's because of his love. Glory to God. What an incredible quality of love. What an incredible quality of love our Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be adopted by him and that we should be called the children of God. Whew, wherever you are tonight, come on, like we do this regularly on some of these teachings. Sometimes I just get overwhelmed by the revelation and the understanding of the magnitude of his love, the gravity of his love. And I can't take it anymore. I can't help myself. And I just go, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the way you love me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you for the way you love me. Glory to God. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your love. Can you say that with me tonight? Thank you for your love. Thank you, Father, for your love. Can you say that from the bottom of your heart, from the depths of your being? Thank you, Father, for your love. Thank you, Father, for your love. Thank you, Father, for your love. God said, I will love them in a crazy, stupendous, illogical way that does not make any sense. And even though I know they don't deserve it, I will do it anyway. That's what God said. He said, I will love them in a crazy, stupendous, illogical way. No, crazy, not in a bad sense. Crazy means unthinkable, like it's just out of this world. Stupendous, big, great. Like huge, that can't be measured. I will love them in a crazy, stupendous, illogical way that does not make any sense. That does not make any sense. And even though I know they don't deserve it, I will do it anyway. That's how God loved us. That's the determination that God made concerning us. I will love them. I will love them. I will love them with an everlasting love. I will love them with an unconditional love. No matter what they've done, no matter where they've been, I will love them regardless. I will love them. I will love them. I will love them and make them my children. I love them and make them like me. I will love them. I would love them and give them the best that I have. I will love them and make their lives so beautiful. I will love them. I will love them. I will love them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now listen to this. God was aware of our terrible history and track record, right? God was aware. It's not like he met us as strangers. He didn't know who we were. No, he was well aware of our history and our track record. He knew us very well. You know, when someone meets a stranger and they think maybe they like them and they want to have a great relationship with them, and they start thinking, maybe could I really love this person? Maybe even love them to the point where I can share my life with them. I can share my most precious things with them. Could I love them? Could I? Well, a lot of times, they are not really able to answer that question immediately because it takes time to discover people. It takes time. No matter what somebody looks like right now, no matter what somebody appears like right now, it does take time to test somebody's character, to know somebody's heart. It takes time. It takes time to know. Are they just saying all these sweet things because of here and now? Do they really mean this? Are they who they seem to be? Is this who they really are? It takes time to know all of that, to have answers to all of those questions. But it didn't take any time for the Lord. God knew us through and through. From the very beginning, he knew our history. He knew our track record of man, I mean, of man, of humanity, of every man and every woman. God's always known us, right? We were not strangers to him. Like, God is not thinking, it might take some time for me to really know, you know, what kind of person this is. No, God knows us. He was aware, very well aware of our terrible history and our track record. Humans have failed God from the very beginning of times through the ages. When I say humans, that's you and that's me. Not just some faceless people somewhere. No, that's you and that's me. Humans have failed God from the very beginning of times through the ages. We have disobeyed his instructions. We have broken his laws. We have defied his desires, we have defiled his covenants, and we have killed his servants and his prophets. That's exactly how the word of God lists it out in the New Testament. We did all of that through the ages. We did all of that through the ages. And even in our generation, when you and I started to live before we came into Christ, we did all of this. We shunned him. We rejected him. We disobeyed him. We defiled his covenants. So he was well aware of our track record and our history. And yet he went out of his way to create the opportunity to love us and to give us his best. In spite of everything God knew about us, he still went out of his way to create the opportunity for him to love us and to give us his best. Remember, he gave us the Garden of Eden at the beginning, and we destroyed it by letting the serpent in. But then God created the opportunity to give us his only begotten son, Jesus, knowing that most of us will reject him anyway, so that he could redeem us and adopt us as his family again. Even though he knew most of the world would reject his son, he still gave him up anyways. He still gave us Jesus. Even though he knew most of the world would reject him, he still gave us Jesus. You remember that scripture in John chapter 1 and verse 14? He came unto his own, verse 12. He came unto his own, and his own did not receive him. But praise God, to as many as received him, to them he gave power, authority and the privilege and the right to become the sons of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But he knew majority of the world will reject him, just like in our world today. You know, majority of the world rejects the Lord, rejects His gifts. That's why when we go out and tell them about it, majority of people, thank God, some of them are going to listen. Thank God, some of them are going to accept it. But majority of people are going to reject Him. That doesn't stop us, though, from telling the next person, right? That's our assignment. That's our commission. Our commission is to go around the world telling the world about the love of God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So our obligation, our assignment is to keep telling them. Yeah, maybe out of 100 people we tell, maybe 90, maybe 99 may reject it and walk away and refuse to listen. We don't stop telling them. We go on to the next person. We keep telling them. No matter how bad they are, no matter how ungodly they are, we keep telling them, God loves you. Every opportunity we get, hallelujah. But you know, you can't give out something you don't have, right? So in order for you and I to be so solidly committed to being able to share the love of God with the world, we ourselves have to be completely sold out to that love. We must be completely bought into that love. We must have received it. We must have accepted it. We must have embraced it completely. Hallelujah. And that's where we are. To get us to know the love of God that passes knowledge. To be filled, to become full of the breadth, the length, the depth, the height of the love of God. To know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, so that we can be filled with the fullness of God. That's where we are. That's why Love Revolution is our teaching. It's what we're studying. Amen. To become so full of the love of God. To know it, to know it, to know it, to know it, to know it. To have a clear revelation of the love of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. John chapter 1, you remember? It says, he came into the world, he came unto his own, and his own did not receive him. John chapter 1, from verse 9, hallelujah. Glory to God. From verse 9, John chapter 1 from verse 9. Glory to God. Yeah. That was the true light that lights every man that comes into the world. Verse 10, he was in the world. And the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Verse 12, but as many as received him, praise God, that's you and me, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The Amplified says, but to as many as did receive and welcome him, he gave the authority, the power, the privilege, the right to become the children of God. That is to those who believe in and rely on his name. Glory to God. Even though he knew majority of the world will reject him, he still gave us his best, his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He still adopted us. As many as will receive him, he adopted us into his family. He made us just like Jesus. That's why the Bible says Jesus is the first begotten. Is the first begotten from the dead. Well, if there is a first begotten, then that means there are other begotten. Glory to God. You and I are just like Jesus. God designed it that way because of his love. Jesus never did wrong. He never faltered. He never made a mistake. You know how people say, oh, that was a mistake. Jesus never made one. He never made one. He never did anything contrary to the will of the Father. And yet, God turned around and picked you and me and made us like him. The one who never faltered. The one who never made a mistake. The one who never did wrong. God, because of his love, took you and took me and fashioned us in his love like his son. So today, Jesus is our big brother. The Bible calls us, brethren. We are brethren of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our big brother. He's our savior. He's our Messiah. He's our soon coming king. He's our master. Glory to God. But he's our brother. He's our big brother. He calls us friends. Why? Because of the love of God. Because of the love of God. Oh, what incomprehensible, indescribable love. What incomprehensible, indescribable love. Indeed, love is the missing ingredient for the blessing that most believers are seeking in their lives. That's why, let's go back to that prayer that Paul prayed for the church. He prayed that the eyes of our understanding might become opened. He prayed that we would get to know the love of Christ. Ephesians chapter 3. Glory to God. We would get to know the love of God. We would know the length and the breadth and the depth and the height of the love of God. We'll know the love of God that surpasses knowledge. Because everything we studied last week, one of those lawyers, Sadducees, came to ask the Lord Jesus Christ, says, which is the first and greatest commandment? And the Lord told him, greatest commandment is you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your might. And he told him the second one is just as the first, you love your neighbor as yourself. Hallelujah. Well, that's the greatest commandment. That's the greatest commandment. And then the second one is the next one to it. And then he said to that lawyer, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And like we read in the Message translation last week, the Message translation says, on these two pegs hang all the law and the covenants and the prophets. That is, every promise God has ever made hang on the peg of the love of God. It is the love of God that holds the promises of God in place. It is the love of God that guarantees that the covenant will work in our lives. It is the love of God that sees to it that will be forever secure. Glory to God. So Paul prayed, we have to have a revelation of that love. It just can't be something that we have a mental assent about. No, we have to have a revelation of that love. So he prayed in Ephesians chapter 3 verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in his love. This is his prayer, that you are rooted and grounded in his love. It's not enough to know about the love of God. It's not enough to just hear about the love of God. It's not enough to even feel good about the love of God. No, he said his prayer is that you and I will become rooted and grounded. Rooted and grounded. Rooted and grounded in the love of God. Rooted and grounded in the love of God. Yeah, I love it. So in the Amplified in verse 17 here, it says, may Christ, through your faith, actually dwell, settle down, abide, make his permanent home in your heart. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on that love. The love of God is the greatest security on this earth. I'm going to read a couple more scriptures and emphasize that a little bit more tonight. The love of God is the greatest security on this earth. It's not your job. It's not your parents. It's not your bank account. It's not your education. It's not who you know. No, the love of God is the greatest security on this earth. It says that you might be founded and secure in that love. That you may be deeply rooted. That's That's why the Lord has us studying this, right? Because most believers are just, you know, you can plant a seed, and when you plant the seed can just be like, you know, the parable of the sower, when that parable that the Lord Jesus Christ talked about, the sower went out to sow, he spread his seeds and all of that. Some fell by the wayside, some were on the rock, you know, had some on grounds that had didn't have any depth, and some fell among thorns and they were choked and all of that. Well, for a lot of believers, that's those different categories is how the love of God is. That's, I told us a story last week. This beloved believer who someone wanted me to minister to, who had known the Lord, walked with the Lord, been blessed, been so blessed, been excited, been established in their walk and in their lives, so blessed, so very blessed in so many ways, spiritually, materially. But suddenly Satan unleashed hell upon them. And he did it for so many years. And that's, you know, that's the way Satan does. He pummeled her until she came to the point where she really didn't want to live anymore. She didn't want to be on this earth. And this, the person who reached out to me said, I'm so concerned. I'm hearing suicide. I'm hearing depression. I'm hearing death and darkness. I don't want to not do something about this. And the next time I try to call this person, I find out that they've left this earth. They've taken their own lives and they're gone. Because they despair for life. They don't believe anymore. Well, when the love of God, when the seed of the love of God is at the periphery, that can happen. No matter how long we walk with the Lord, no matter how many experiences we've had, if the seed of the love of God is just at the periphery in our lives, it's just on the surface, like that seed you sow, you know, you didn't dig it all the way down so it can develop roots in the ground and be secure. You just put it on the surface and then some wind came and blew it and the seed was wasted. Or somebody was walking and they just kicked the seed out of the ground, or birds of the air came and just stole the seed and just destroyed it, or thorns, weeds grew in the same place and the seed had no life. Well, for a lot of believers, that is the categorization. That is the way the love of God is in their lives. Is just on the periphery. That's why Paul said, I'm praying that you be deeply rooted, you be grounded in the love, not just on the periphery, not just to know it a little, know it, mental asset. Yeah, I know God loves me. Nah, yeah, I believe I know God loves me. But then, when the attacks of the enemy become so heavy, then we really begin to wonder, does God really love me? If God loves me, why is all this happening to me? Why me? Why didn't that miracle? I know God loves that pastor. I know God does a lot of good things in his life. I know he has great testimonies and he keeps talking about all the good that God does in his life. But what have I done? Why doesn't God love me like he loves him? I know that sister. I know God loves her. She keeps talking about what God's done in her life. And I know God loves her, but what about me? See, when the love of God is on the periphery, and we're not deeply grounded and deeply rooted in that love, that's what happens. And Satan knows it. So Paul prayed, I pray for you, that you may become rooted and grounded in the love of God. Verse 18, that you may be able to comprehend with all saints. The word comprehend, katalambano, means to know it. Is to know it, is to have a measure of experience, experiential knowledge. That you may comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. To know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. So when you know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, when you are deeply rooted and deeply grounded in the love of Christ that passes knowledge, then you'll be filled with all the fullness of God. When you are deeply rooted in the love of Christ, when you are deeply grounded in the love of Christ, it eliminates all questions. It eliminates all questions. Why this and why that and how come and how, why so? It eliminates all questions. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just know that I know that I know that I know that God loves me. I don't understand everything about what's going on and what life's experiences have brought and done. And I don't understand everything. But one thing I know, I know that God loves me. I'm secure in that love. And when you are secure in that love, you cannot be shaken. When you are secure in that law, you cannot be uprooted. It settles all questions. You are secure in it. I'm just secure in the love of God. I know God loves me. Hallelujah. And with every test, with every attack, with every adversity that comes, I know God loves me. I know God loves me. Remember last week, we were talking about Joseph's coat of many colors that his father gave him. Even though circumstances and life took away that coat from his brothers, took away that coat from, in his spirit, in his heart, he never let go of that coat. He kept saying to you, I know my father loves me. I know my father loves me. Hallelujah. Adversity will expire and I know I will recover. My father loves me. My father loves me. Glory to God. It says that you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Hallelujah. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. When you become filled with all the fullness of God, then you begin to know that God of the exceeding. You begin to experience the God of the exceeding. Hallelujah. You begin to know and experience the God of the exceeding abundant. He said, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. What is that power that works in us? The power that is at work in us is the power of the love of God. Let me say that to you again. The power that is at work in us is the power of the love of God. The measure of that power is directly proportional to the measure of how much of this exceeding abundant God you and I can experience in our lives. It's according to the power that is working in our hearts. What is this power? It's the love of God. It's the love of God. The more of the love of God is manifested in our heart, the more of the exceeding abundant God and his nature that we will be able to experience and manifest. It's according to the power that is working in our heart. What is this power? It's the love of God. It's the love of God. Hallelujah. Whew. Somebody say, thank God for the love of God. Thank you, Father, for your love. Thank you, Father, for your love. That's the power that is working within my heart. Thank God for the love of God. You see, everything that it says there, it says, when you know the love of God that passes knowledge, then you be filled with the fullness of God. Well, where is that? Where are you filled with the fullness of God? Inside of your heart. Inside of your heart. The love of God is the empowerment of God. The love of God is the empowerment of God. Glory to God. Woo! Woo! Thank you, Jesus. The love of God is the empowerment of God. Nothing will ever overcome the power of the love of God. Nothing. Nothing will ever overcome the power of the love of God in the life of a believer. Nothing will ever overcome the power of the love of God. The love of God is the greatest security that exists on this earth. The love of God is the greatest security that exists on this planet. Nothing will ever overcome the power of the love of God. When you know that you know that you know that you know that God loves you, you cannot be overcome. You cannot be overrun. You cannot be overwhelmed. When you know that you know that you know that you know that God loves you, you cannot be overcome. You cannot be overrun. You cannot be overwhelmed. Nothing can overcome the power of the love of God in the life of a believer. Nothing. Whew, glory to God. Nothing. That's why Paul wrote, it's one of the most powerful portions of scripture. You and I know that in Romans chapter 8. And at a point, he even asked, what can separate us from the love of God? What can? Nothing. There is no adversity. There is no situation. There is no delay. There is no disappointment. There is no attack. There is no failure. There is nothing on this earth that can ever overcome the power of the love of God. No wonder Paul prayed that you may become rooted, that you may become grounded in that love. Because the more rooted you are, the more grounded you are, the more secure you are in that love. And when you become so secure in that love, nothing can shake you. Nothing can move you. Glory to God. Glory to God. When the power of that love is overflowing in your heart, nothing can shake you. Nothing. Let's go and read in Romans chapter 8. What can separate us from the love of God? What can? To the point where he said, can death? Death may even be one of the first things he mentioned. Death. I mean, death is like the ultimate tool of attack of Satan. Remember, in John chapter 10, Jesus said, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, to destroy. But Jesus said, but I came that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. He came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Well, if death is one of his greatest tools, then Paul said, even death cannot separate us from the power or the love of God. Then what can? What can? What can? Nothing can ever overcome the power of the love of God. Look at it in Romans chapter 8. Let's take it from verse 31. I love it. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? How does God demonstrate that he's for us? How does God demonstrate that he's for us? Is it not by his love? Yes. How does God demonstrate that is for us? Is it not by his love? Yes. Hallelujah. Verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How shall he not also freely with him give us all things? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God who justifies us. Why does he justify us? Because he loves us. Does he justify us because we have not done anything wrong? No. Does he justify us because we're completely pure, completely righteous, completely holy, completely innocent, completely perfect? No human is, not on this earth. So why does he justify us? He justifies us because of his love. Jesus was the atonement. Jesus was, the Bible calls him the propitiation for our sins. That is any blemish, anything that makes us unqualified, anything that makes us less than what God wants us to be. Jesus paid the price to erase that, to change that. Anything that adds to us and highlights our imperfection, anything that shows and illuminates our imperfections, our failings, our weaknesses. Oh, glory to God. Even as I'm saying this, glory to God. There's such an eruption of grace and the anointing of the Holy Spirit coming from within me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anything that will highlight our imperfections, anything that would highlight what's about us that does not meet up to God's standard, anything that will highlight how we fail and how we falter and how we come up short, anything that will highlight that, Jesus paid the price to erase it. So then God can justify us. God justifies us because of his love. He said, who will lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God who justifies. Why does he justify? Because of his love. Not because you are perfect, not because I am perfect, not because we have done everything right. Sometimes I hear believers say, yeah, you know, they even come to pray and say, Lord, you know, I've done everything right. You know, I've done everything right. Really? You have, really? One of the prayers of David that I fell in love with so many decades ago when I learned it and the revelation of it hit me. Glory to God. I'm going to come right back to Romans chapter 8. When that revelation hit me, oh my goodness. David talked about the presumptuous sins. Deliver me from the presumptuous sin. Hallelujah. When it hit me, look at it in Psalms 19, glory to God. David said, Psalms 19 verse 12, glory to God. Psalms 19, but verse 12, who can understand his errors? Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Oh, glory to God. Who can understand his errors? Obviously, there are things that we do in our lives where we know that's wrong. That's wrong. You just know that's wrong. And praise God, hopefully we confess, we repent, we tell the Lord, we ask for forgiveness, he forgives us, we move on. You know that's wrong. But there's so many things in our lives that are wrong that we don't even know about. So many. There's so many things in our lives that make us fall short of the glory of God. There's so many things in our lives that disqualify us from walking in his presence. There's so many things in our lives that make us not measure up. Like we just don't qualify for what the Lord wants to give to us. So many. Hallelujah. And we don't even know about them. Some talk about the sin of omission, the sin of commission. There are so many things about our lives that we have no idea. Some things we do that just irritate the Father. Some things that we do that just grieve the Holy Spirit. We've done them for so long. We've done them for so long. They've become a part of us. And now we've been lulled to believe that that's okay. People even say, that's just me. That's just my personality. That's just the way I am. And unfortunately, they don't realize that those very things are the things that limit the move of the power of God, the move of the Holy Spirit. Those things hinder the flow of God, hinder the move of the Holy Spirit in their lives. The Holy Spirit is grieved by those things. But many times we don't know. We've done it for so long. We've been that way for so long. And we just think, oh, that's just me. That's just who I am. And yet, God, because of his love and his mercy, finds a way in spite of those things, to qualify us. David said, glory to God, hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. David said, who can understand his errors? Cleanse me, cleanse thou me from secret faults, secret faults. That's Psalms 19 and verse 12. Then he said in verse 13, keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Presumptuous sin. Presumptuous sin. Don't let them have dominion over me. Presumptuous sin. Presumptuous sin. Don't let them have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. And many of those presumptuous sins are words of our mouths. They are thoughts of our heart. Look at this. It says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, let them be acceptable in your sight, O Lord God, my strength and my redeemer. Secret faults. Presumptuous sins. Sometimes things we don't even know about. That separate us, that separate us from God's best. David prayed, Lord, save me. When the understanding of that prayer hit me decades ago, my goodness, it was life-changing for me. It's the love of God. The love of God covers it all. The love of God, he says, who, I'm back to Romans chapter 8, who will lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God who justifies. Do you know, all the things that we could have done over our lives, many times when we did years ago, at the beginning of our journey, or even after we were safe, we've been safe for a long time, things that we just didn't realize. Seeds that we were sowing that were hurting our destiny, things that we were doing, decisions we were making that were standing in the way of the future, the great future that God had prepared for us. We just didn't know about it. And some of it we knew, but in our stubbornness, in our foolishness, we continue to do it. We continue to do it. And if we ever had reaped the harvest of those wrongs, there's no way our lives could have turned out good. But God, because of his love and his mercy, he shielded us. Paul says, who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us because of his love? Then he starts in verse 35. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hope you're feeling something, saints. I hope you're feeling something. Glory to God. Glory to God. If you are not, shake yourself up, because you may be dull in the spirit. You may be sleeping in the spirit. Just shake yourself. Something. There's something in these words that's too powerful for us to not feel anything. He said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. He says, nay, verse 37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Through him that loved us. In all these things, hallelujah, we are more than conquerors. We were more than conquerors. Hallelujah. Through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing will ever be able to overcome the power of the love of God in the life of a believer. My God, my time is up tonight. My time is up. Let's pick this up from here. Let's come back here next week. Let's come back to Romans chapter 8 next week. Father, we thank you. We bless your holy name. Oh, thank you for loving us so. Thank you for loving us. Oh, thank you for loving us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for loving us. We didn't qualify. All those secret faults, all those presumptuous sins, all those things that would have led to our condemnation, all those things that would have disqualified us from even standing and lifting up our heads in your presence. And yet, because of your love, because of your mercy, you cover them over. You made Jesus the propitiation for our sins. You made us just like him, like we never sinned, like we never did wrong. You justified us. You justified us. You made us just as if we never did wrong. Hallelujah. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the power of your love that protects us, that shields us, that keeps us. We give you praise. We bless your name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Woo! Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, saints, I don't know about you. I don't know about you. There's so much power. There's so much power in these words that we're reading tonight. So much power. Well, our time is up. I hope you were blessed tonight. Glory to God. I look forward to seeing you again same time next week. God bless you. Good night.